This grade 12 lesson is proudly brought to you by the Department of Education. Working together, we can do more providing quality education.
It's time for us to get into today's hashtag Limpopo Radio Lessons. And today's lesson is on business studies by Mr. K.D. Mashalani Khos. Good afternoon, sir. You can begin with the lesson.
Good afternoon to you too. Good afternoon, grade 12 business studies learners and Capricorn FM listeners. I am Mr. Mashalani K.D., an educator at Texila Secondary School. Today, I want us to learn about investment, of which the focus will be on securities as well as investment opportunities. Today's topic is going to be based on investment, and the main focus will be on securities and investment opportunities. Remember that this topic falls under the business venture. Business venture, paper one. The topic is investment, securities, and investment opportunities. And the first subheading that I want us to look at is the Johannesburg Security Exchange. Johannesburg Security Exchange. I will start with the definition of JSE. It refers to JSE is a formal market trading in shares comprising of all public companies that have been listed. Johannesburg Security Exchange is a formal market trading in shares comprising of all public companies that have been listed. Remember that when we talk about the JSE, it revolves around buying and selling shares. That's why we're saying it's a formal market trading in shares. So when you explain your test and examination, most probably now we are focusing on the final examination. When you are asked about the Johannesburg Security Exchange, there's nothing that you can talk about except talking about that this institution deals with trading in shares and only shares of public companies. Those are the main things that you need to talk about. And remember that the Johannesburg Stock Exchange, of which the JSE, is one of the top 20 largest securities exchanges in the world, and by far the largest securities exchange in Africa. So our stock exchange, the Johannesburg Security Exchange, is one of the top 20 largest security exchanges in the world. One of the 20 in the world. And also by far the largest securities exchange in Africa. Right, so the JSE is the engine room of the South African economy. It serves an extremely important economic function by directing money into productive economic activity and thus building the economy, creating jobs, and enabling wealth to be created. That is Johannesburg Security Exchange. Remember, it is a formal market trading in shares, comprising of all public companies that have been listed. So mainly what I've just alluded to is one of the things that you can put in your introduction, mainly in your essay type questions. Right, so now I want us to look at the functions of Johannesburg Security Exchange. So we've got several functions, but I just want to focus on the following functions of the GSE. We've got around 15 of them, but I want to talk about only six due to lack of time. Right. The first one is that it gives opportunity to financial institutions such as insurance companies to invest their funds in shares. So remember, I am talking about the functions of the JSE. So it gives opportunities to financial institutions such as insurance companies to invest their funds in shares. Right? So the JSE gives opportunities to financial institutions to invest their funds in shares. Remember, the main aim of investing is to yield better returns. We invest in shares in order to yield better returns. That's the main aim of investing, to earn extra something from your investment. That's why even the financial institutions, such as insurance companies, banks, and so on, they invest their funds in shares. The second one, Johannesburg Security Exchange serves as a barometer of economic conditions in South Africa. So sometimes the JSE, it serves as a barometer. When we talk about barometer, we're referring to an indicator. So when we want to measure the performance of the economy, we do it through the Johannesburg Security Exchange. We know that if there's a problem at JSE, we know that our economy is in trouble. So therefore, that's why they're saying the Johannesburg Security Exchange, it serves as a barometer of economic conditions in South Africa. It's sort of an indicator of economic conditions in South Africa. So we use this institution to measure the level of the economy. That's why they say barometer or an indicator. Right, and then it keeps investors informed on share prices by publishing share prices daily. More often, when you open your newspapers, on television, we get to be informed on share prices almost every day. So all this information with regards to share prices, they're available in different media such as newspaper and also on television. So and that's why they're saying the function of this Johannesburg Security Exchange is to keep investors informed on share prices by publishing the share prices daily. And also, the Johannesburg Security Exchange acts as a link between investors and public companies. So the JSE acts as a link between investors and we're still talking about the functions of the Johannesburg Security Exchange, and we're still on the fact that shares are valued and assessed by experts. So at JSE, there are experts who are there to value and assess those kinds of shares. So those experts, mostly we call them stockbrokers. And another one is that the GSE the Johannesburg Security Exchange encourages new investment. So encourages that the new investors must come and invest at JSE. It also raises primary capital. And then also it regulates the market of dealing with shares. So every market of dealing with shares, that is the responsibility of the Johannesburg Security Exchange. And also plans, researches, and advises on investment possibilities. Plan, researches, and advises on investment possibilities. You know, there are several investment possibilities. So the right institution that can help you in terms of understanding the market of dealing with shares, that is the Johannesburg Security Exchange. And ensure that the market operates in transparent manner. So it is the responsibility of the Johannesburg Security Exchange to ensure that the market of dealing with shares operates in a transparent manner, in an open manner. So, and also provides protection of investors. So the JSE, they make sure that investors are protected. Their investment is also protected. And then encourages short-term investment. And lastly, facilitates electronic trading of shares. So that is functions of Johannesburg Security Exchange. Very important. Greater learners, you need to note the function of JSE. Mostly they come in both short questions and also essay type questions. In our section B, of which the short questions come around 6 marks to 8 marks. So that is very important. You can lose marks on functions of the JSE. Very easy and also easy to read and understand. The functions of the Johannesburg Security Exchange. Right, and now I want us to look at the factors that should be considered when making investment decisions. Factors to be considered when making investment decisions. So when you want to invest in all forms of investment, also in shares, there are factors that need to be considered before you choose your best investment option. You don't just invest in any investment. First, before you invest, you have to take note of these factors. Then, according to our exam guideline, you are expected to learn the following factors. So those that are not mentioned in your exam guideline, you can learn them this year, because the one that does not appear in your exam guideline, the examiner will not set them. So please only learn the following 6 factors that must be considered when making investment decision. As the following are: return on investment, risk, investment term, inflation rate, taxation, and liquidity. You are expected to learn the following: return on investment, risk, investment term or investment period, inflation rate, taxation, liquidity. There are only 6, right? And you can learn the following: investment planning factors, volatility, and also personal budget. So these 3, they are not mentioned in your exam guideline. Therefore, you can learn these 3. you only learn the six that I've mentioned. Please, that is my humble request. You cannot learn something that does not appear in your exam guideline. When you learn them, you can just learn them for knowledge. Right. So now I want to explain all these factors that should be considered when making investment decisions. No, I want us to start with the return on investment. So remember, what is a return? A return on investment, it refers to income from investment. So what you earn from your investment, we call it a return. And we've got three types of return on investment. The first one is interest. The second one is dividends. And the other one is increased on capital growth. Sometimes they call it capital gain. So these are the three return on investment: the interest, the dividend, and the capital gain. And you have to understand this three return on investment. One thing that you need to do with regards to return on investment when you explain it, that first explain the fact that return on investment, it refers to income made from investment. And you also have to learn these three types of return on investment, of which the interest, the dividends, and the capital gain. So interest is what you earn from financial institution, right? Interest is an income made from financial institution, and dividends, okay, what we earn from investment in shares. And then capital growth is what we earn from fixed assets. Capital growth is an income from fixed assets. When you invest in fixed assets, what you get, we call it a capital growth. When you invest in shares, what you get from investment shares, we call it dividends. And when you invest at a financial institution, what you get, we call it interest. So you have to understand those three return on investment. And also under the return on investment is that the return should be expressed as net after tax gain from the investment. So the return will be expressed as net after tax. So before you get your return, they have to take tax. And then also, high risk investment yield higher returns. High risk investment yield higher returns. If your investment has high risk, you also gonna earn high return. So generally, there will be a direct link between risk and return. The higher the risk, the more the return. The lower the risk, the less the return. So if your investment has high risk, it means that you will get more return. If your investment has low risk, it will yield less return. That's what you need to understand with regards to return on investment. Like, remember, we are talking about the factors that must be considered when making investment decision. So when you want to invest, the first thing that you need to look at or that you need to research about is the return on investment. What are you gonna get from that investment? That is very important. Remember that when we invest, we want to earn an income. We want to get a return. So we have to research about, from this investment, what is it that I'm going to get? Right, another fact that one consider when making investments is the risk. Risk. So shares have low to medium risk over a longer period of time. So when you want to invest in shares, you must know that this kind of investment has low risk or medium risk over a longer period of time. And then also, share prices are linked to factors that investors cannot control. So when you invest in shares, you must know that the price of shares are linked to factors that investors cannot control. So factors such as economic conditions. So when you talk about the economic conditions, you're referring to things like inflation, exchange rate, recession, and so on. So these economic conditions, they affect your investment. Right, and also you must know that with regards to risk, share prices are volatile. So you must always, when you invest in shares, you must understand that share prices are volatile. So volatile means that share prices are unstable or unpredictable. Because share prices may increase or decrease sharply within hours, which contribute to the uncertainty of the value of investment in shares on short term. So when you invest in shares, you must also, in your research about the risk of your investment, you must know that share prices are volatile, unstable, unpredictable. It may increase or decrease within hours. So when you take investment in shares, you must understand that. Right, another factor that one consider when making investment decision is the fact that is the investment period or investment term. Period means like the length of your investment, the number of months or years. Here now, the investment period or investment term. So remember, the investment period refers to the duration of investment, which may influence the return on investment. So the duration, the number of months or years for your investment, it influences the return. The longer the term or the shorter the term influences your return. If you invest in a long term, it means that you're going to get high return. But if your investment, you have invested for a shorter period of time, it will also, you will earn less return. So the investment influencer, the term influencer, the return. And what also you need to understand under the investment period or term is that the investment period can be short, medium, or long term. So the short can be less than a year. And then the long period can be a year and longer. So that is the period of investment can be short, medium, or long term. And you must know that the longer the investment period, the higher the return. The investment period will depend on investors' personal needs. So that is investment period. And also another factor that investors can take into account when investing in the taxation. We all know what's a taxation. We all know what's a tax. It's a compulsory payment made to state by each citizens. That is tax. And also, when you invest, you must take tax into consideration, because tax affects your investment. A good investment will yield good after-tax return. A good investment will yield good after-tax return. Even if they take tax, you will, if it is a good investment, you're still going to get good money. So income tax implication must be considered in order to ensure high net after-tax return. Tax rates are not necessarily the same for different investments. That's why it's very important that you need to research about tax on different types of investment, because different types of investment are not charged the same with regards to tax. So that is taxation. And the last one is liquidity. An amount could be invested in a type of investment that can easily be converted into cash. So liquidity is used to describe the easy and the speed with which investors can convert an investment into cash. So some investment takes around a longer period of time, of which is not easy or fast to get your investment. You cannot cash your investment. Therefore, so when you talk about liquidity, we are referring to the speed or the easy in which investors can convert an investment into cash. So an investment in saving account, like when you invest in your saving account, it will be easier for your investment to be converted into cash. So you all know what a saving account. So you are able to access your saving account every day. That's why it is easy to get your money whenever you want it. But when you invest in fixed deposits, which is usually deposited for a fixed period of time, so sometimes it might not be easy for one to get access to his or her cash. Because like you fix your money, you put your money into a bank for a fixed period of time. You say, I want to put this money for 5 years. You're not going to get your money until it reaches maturity date. So therefore, it is not easy to get your money. That's when you talk about liquidity. How easy and speed to convert your investment into cash. So when you want to invest in whatever investment option that you want to use, so it is very important that you check liquidity. So these are the factors that one consider when making investment decision. Remember, you must only learn the six: the return, the risk, investment cost, inflation rate, taxation, and liquidity. Right, and then now I want us to look at the types of investment opportunities and their risk factors. Types of investment opportunities and their risk factors. So also with regards to types of investment opportunities, you are expected to learn the following types of investment opportunities. One, mutual funds or stock fell. Remember, I'm talking about types of investment opportunities. I'm saying that you must learn the following types of investment opportunities. Mutual funds or stock fell, managed portfolio, venture capital, 32 days notice account, debentures, endowment, or retirement annuities. Learn the following: mutual fund, managed portfolio, venture capital, 32 days notice account, debenture, endowment or retirement annuities. So you learn types of investment opportunities and the risk factors. Let us pause for a short break. Before that break, we were talking about types of investment opportunities and their risk factors. So I told you to look at the following types of investment opportunities and their risk factors: the mutual funds or the stock fell, managed portfolio, venture capital, 32 days notice account, debenture, endowment or retirement annuities. So we only focus on these six. Right. So, and then I want us to start with the stock fails or mutual funds. So the stock fail or mutual fund, it is an informal saving scheme to which a relatively small group of people contribute. So stock fail or mutual fund is an informal saving scheme to which the small group of people contribute. It can be around 10 people, depend on the type of stock fail. Each member takes 10 to draw from the scheme fund or stock fail for their own personal gain. So we contribute, like more often we do that, the stock fails, like every month we contribute certain amount of money and give it to someone, and every month each person takes 10 in terms of receiving from the stock fail. And it encourages people to save each month for a specific reason. So people save every month for a specific reason. And in terms when it is hard to get bank loans, stock fail payouts may come in handy. So stock fails are very important. It's mostly found in black communities. And also you need to know the risk of investing in stock fail. So money in saving account is a safe investment, but with low interest rates, which affect the return, which the return will be low. So that is the stock fail. We have to explain what is a stock fail and also explain the risk involved in investment in stock fail. Sometimes within a stock fail, we do the stock fail with schemers who claim to run a stock fail, but actually may be running an illegal pyramid schemes, and payout may not be possible as cash has run out and members may lose their savings. That is the risk involved in stock fail. Another risk is that money in a saving account is a safe investment of which the risk is very low. Right, that is the stock fail. And another type of investment that I want us to discuss is the managed portfolio. So with managed portfolio, an investor instructs a financial institution or a bank or a financial advisor to manage his or her various investments or assets in one portfolio. Right? So when you talk about managed portfolio, That's where an investor instructs a financial institution or a bank or a financial advisor to manage his or her various investments or assets in one portfolio. So you give a bank or a financial advisor to manage your investment or your assets in one portfolio. And the risk is lower over a longer term or period. And also, investments are made in various sectors or companies. Therefore, the risk is spread and better. So remember, the risk for stock fail is mainly lower. And the risk for managed portfolio is also lower over a long period of time. Right, that is the managed portfolio. Another type of investment is venture capital. Venture capital is given by an investor or businesses to start up or expand a business in return to the share in a new or expanded business. So when you talk about venture capital, sometimes you want to start your own business, but you don't have money. So someone can invest in your business. And when one has invested in your business, for as long as your business exists, the person who has invested in your business will always have a share in your business. So investors should know the type of business, economy conditions before a business is bought or started. So when you invest in someone's business, you have to know the type of the business, the economy conditions that may affect the business. Right, and the risk of investing in someone's business or the risk for venture capital is that this type of investment has high risk. Like investing in someone's business, the risk is very high. Mostly, the risk is high if research is not properly done. We have to do, before you invest in someone's business, you have to make sure that you do a thorough research so that you understand what you are doing. Right, so another type of investment is the debentures. So with the debentures, it is issued to raise borrowed capital from the public. So the business borrow capital from the public. Now the business can borrow capital from ordinary South Africans. And most types of debentures can be traded at Johannesburg Security Exchange. So, and the risk of this type of investment is low because these debentures, they need to be paid back. That's why the risk is very low. So companies are liable to repay the amount of the debentures plus interest, which decrease the risk for the investors. That is debenture. Another type of investment is the endowment or life, I mean endowment or retirement annuities. Endowment policy or retirement annuity. So with this type of investment, a monthly payment is paid to an insurance company with the expectancy of receiving a predetermined amount on date. A monthly payment is paid to an insurance company with an expectancy of receiving a predetermined amount on a date in future. So when you do endowment policy or retirement annuity, you do a monthly payment. Every month you contribute towards the retirement annuity or endowment policy. So you pay every month with the hope that you're going to get a predetermined amount on a date in future. So this type of investment provides for future expenses and gives peace of mind to the dependents of the insured. Mainly when you do the retirement annuity or endowment policy, it provides for a future expenses for you as a policyholder. Like when you retire, you get your money. But with endowment policy, when you die, it gives a peace of mind to the dependents of the insured. It means that with the endowment policy, your dependent will receive an amount of money upon your death. That is retirement. And you remember, retirement annuity, you do it for yourself when you retire. But endowment policy, you do it for your dependents in case you die. So that's why it gives peace of mind to the dependents of the insured. Right, and the risk is low, as insured amount will be paid out regardless of circumstances. The risk is very low, as the insured amount will be paid out regardless of circumstances. Only the closing down or bankruptcy of a company, the bankruptcy of an insurance company, may result in losing monthly contributions. So the risk is only when the insurance company closes down. Right, and also the last type of investment is 32 days notice account. 32 days notice account. With 32 days notice account, money, and also you need to take note of the fact that sometimes 32 days notice account, they call it a call deposit. 32 days notice account or call deposit. So with this one, money is invested at a fixed rate, although withdrawal may be made, provided the bank is given 32 days notice of the withdrawal. So you put money at the bank for a fixed period of time. When you need the money, you give the bank a notice of 32 days. So you get your money after 32 days. You cannot just go to a bank and say, I have deposited money and I want it. Before you get it, you give the bank 32 days notice. And after that, you get your money. And it earns more interest than a current check or saving account, but less interest than a fixed deposit. So with this one, the 2 days notice account, it earns more interest than a current check or saving account. And the risk is low, as investment plus interest will be paid out on the mature date of the investment. So that is our 32 days notice. You must understand that with 32 days notice, you put money at the bank for a fixed period of time. at a fixed rate. When you want to withdraw your money, you give the bank 32 days notice. And you must know that the 2 days notice account or call deposits has got low risk. Low risk. Right. And then in my conclusion, I want us to talk about the impact of the following investment options. I want us to do the advantage or the disadvantages of the following forms of investment. Remember, the one that I've just mentioned, you only explain them, say what is it, and also the risk. But the following forms of investment, you do their impact, their advantages and the disadvantages, of which is the RSA retail saving bonds. So with RSA retail saving bonds, you don't have to do the explanation and the risk. You only do what? The impact, the negatives and the positives, or the advantage and disadvantages, of which is the RSA retail saving bonds, unit trust, shares, and fixed deposits. So these ones, you only do the negatives and the positives. And thank you very much. Enjoy the rest of the day. Thank you.
Thank you very much, sir. Enjoy your day too.
This grade 12 lesson was proudly brought to you by the Department of Education. Working together, we can do more providing quality education.